views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, you died good riddance. That man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is October the 5th, 2015. It is a Monday afternoon. And just want to welcome in those who are listening to some of the pre-recorded programming that we run on the digital radio station Black Talk Radio Network when we're not doing any live streaming. Following this program at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time will be Tando Radio Show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Today I want to just talk about a couple of things, that I feel like are important in the news. We'll only be on for an hour today as I'm still doing a whole lot of work behind the scenes and have some things I need to get done for some people. So I'll only be on air for an hour today. But if you have any comments, any questions, feel free to give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. And once you dialed in, just hit *61 if you want to comment on air. You can also hit me up on the studio line. The studio line is 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. So today we will just be talking about some of the couple of news stories that caught my eye over the weekend. I hope that you all had a pleasurable weekend and that you did not become a casualty behind these enemy lines, because I know a lot of things occur over the weekend for whatever reason in this country. I think it has to do a lot with alcohol, a lot of people using alcohol on the weekend. So yeah, this caught my eye over the weekend. You got a group of bipartisan senators who have reached in an agreement to keep practicing modern slavery via the drug war. Now, of course, they will tell you that this is reform. This is a good thing that we're doing here. And from what I have gathered, and we'll get more into the article, I think it's from MSN.com, but they've been working on this for years. I don't believe that. I don't. Maybe they have, but if they've been working on this for years, this is the best that they could come up with, is to keep practicing slavery and human trafficking, because they aren't abolishing anything. So I want to share that story with you. And of course, none of these senators, I had an opportunity to catch a couple of the Sunday morning news shows yesterday on cable. And I have yet to see any senator comment on the Justice Is Not For Sale Act, which was introduced by Bernie Sanders and another representative from the state of Arizona, I believe. I can't recall the man's name, but None of these senators that have reached this an agreement for this so-called reform package on criminal justice, none of them have even discussed or talked about the bill or whether or not that they believe that we should abolish private prisons or they should abolish private prisons, because I'm not running anything in this country. But I haven't heard anything. Again, have not seen any mainstream media reports where you have a panel of criminal justice experts and authors and professors and you know, nobody having a panel on debating the merits of this bill. And again, I believe that's deliberate. Now, here is a bit of news. You might have heard me talking about, I believe I mentioned it on Black Talk Radio News, but I know that I had mentioned it on Brother Dave's program, Tando Radio Show, but that the Iranians, the Iraqis, Syrians, and Russians have formed a coalition, which is headquartered in Iraq, in Baghdad, Iraq, and, you know, with the mission of fighting terrorism. Namely ISIL, also known as ISIS, as they call them, which has been wreaking havoc in both Syria and Iraq. And that's a game changer right there. Now, I have confirmed, I found a second source that they have indeed formed this coalition. And now a new report came out. I don't know if it was yesterday or if it was today when I first saw this story. But China is now joining that coalition. Again, the Iranians, Iraqis, Syrians, and Russians are coming together to combat terrorism in Iraq. I haven't seen them talking about doing anything in Iraq, but I have seen them, discussing what's going on in terms of Syria and fighting those terrorists in Syria. So now that China has joined this coalition, it was already would be a formidable coalition, but now that China is joining this coalition, wow, that's checkmate. That's checkmate right there for NATO. That's checkmate right there for USA Inc. And of course, USA Inc. and NATO are not happy about it, as it will present a problem for their plans to overthrow yet another country. You know, for those who forgot, the last country they overthrew was not Iraq, but Libya. So this has introduced a very interesting variable into what we see going on in that part of the world. Now, of course, like I mentioned, I have caught a couple of mainstream corporate reports, and everything that I've seen in the way that they're talking about it is they're just trying to blame Russia. They're trying to make it all about Russia, like Russia is trying to expand this empire and whatnot. You know, they talking about want to restart the Cold War, make it a hot war, and make it all about Putin, or however you pronounce his name. Want to make it all about him and demonize Russia. And it's nothing but disinformation. But of course, from my years of study of corporate media in this country, they have always been okay with telling lies. Whatever the corporate state, USA Inc., wants them to put out as the narrative, they will do that. And I have even read, like, back in the 50s and early 60s, some of these, corporate media executives back then were talking about, you know, that's a form of patriotism, is to support the war effort, not to report the facts, not to gather facts and investigate and be neutral and objective. No, it's to support propaganda in support of the war, to produce propaganda in support of the war effort. And we see that going on now. And the latest, I think what most people would remember, is all the crap that was coming out of corporate media and saying Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and just repeating the lies of the Bush administration and whatnot. And so it's nothing new, people. And that's why I tell you, you have to really, really, analyze everything you read or hear from corporate media. You just cannot accept what they're telling you are facts, and you simply can't accept that they're being truthful with you, because they're not. 9 times out of 10, they are not. What I have observed them do is they will mix in about maybe, you know, 20% truth and 20% facts or whatnot, but the rest of the 80% is pretty much propaganda. So you just really have to be careful. Just because you read a lot like I do, or, you know, you read all the corporate media reports, and you even read alternative media reports, and you would classify yourself as being informed, but you're not informed if you're getting a lot of misinformation and you don't know how to decipher that information. If you're just going to accept what they're saying is fact without doing any kind of independent research of your own and trying to find some other sources, not corporate media or U.S. media, then, you know, you really cannot truthfully say that you are informed about what's going on in the world. So, yeah. And the last story of this story, I did have an opportunity to talk about a little bit last night on Political Prisoner Radio. If you missed that episode, please check out Political Prisoner Radio podcast right there on the website, blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hover over the menu item, Political Prisoner Radio, and then another menu will appear under it that says podcast. Click on that. You can access all the podcasts. That's one of the ways you can access them. But last night I had an opportunity, because it was kind of relevant to what we were talking about. And I've been holding off on this story for at least 4 days now, from when I first read about it. And I only started publicly talking about it yesterday. I was just waiting to see if the corporate media, if national media, mainstream media was going to talk about it or, you know, provide a report, a news report on it. I have seen nothing. I have heard nothing. And so you might be asking, well, what are you talking about, Sky? What is this big news that they don't feel like is newsworthy? Well, the big news is the indigenous people of Hawaii have an opportunity to take their country back. Yes, that's what I said. Take their country back, as USA Inc. has given those people permission, and I, you know, put that in quotes, have given them permission to hold a vote on whether or not they want to reform, and I should clarify this statement. I don't mean reform as in terms of like criminal justice reform, but I'm meaning reform as reconstitute their sovereign nation and government. Because Hawaii was a sovereign nation, had a queen, and everything. They had a government. All right. They weren't just a bunch of people, you know, living in the jungle, fishing and surfing and all. No. They had a government. They had a government, and their last queen was kidnapped and held at gunpoint, and she was forced to sign over their sovereignty to the United States of America, USA Inc. And of course, this was orchestrated by sugar corporations, fruit corporations. Sister Mijo had shared some information. I think she said it was called, at one time, called the United Fruit Company, and they were behind a lot of the oppressive, brutal regimes that popped up in South America, and then they renamed themselves to the Dole Corporation, and you might know that name from Dole Pineapples, and, you know, they own a lot of, they occupy a whole lot of property growing pineapples in that country, because it is a country. Let's call it what it is. Even though it has colony status right now, it's been colonized. But yeah, they took over. A group of businessmen took over. They, you know, like I mentioned, kidnapped the queen, and they had help from the United States Marines, and they just took over the place, man. They just took over the place. So they have an unprecedented opportunity to get their country back, and I hope that they do. Again, very little corporate media attention outside of one Associated Press article that was shared with me. That's the only thing I saw on this story. All right, so Let's go ahead and jump to the first story. The first story comes to you via MSN.com. It is an Associated Press article. And in this Associated Press article, they state that a bipartisan group of senators unveiled legislation this past Thursday that would overhaul the nation's criminal justice system, allowing some nonviolent drug offenders to get reduced prison sentences and giving judges greater discretion in sentencing. So let me repeat that. Allowing some nonviolent drug offenders to get reduced prison sentences and giving judges greater discretion in sentencing. So it goes on. Senator Charles Grassley, a Republican out of Iowa, who is also the longtime chairman of the Judiciary Committee, said in a statement that this historic reform bill addresses legitimate over-incarceration concerns while targeting violent criminals and masterminds in the drug trade. So, yeah, I don't think that y'all are going to be targeting any of the agents of the DEA or the CIA or whatever other intelligence agencies that are involved in drug trafficking, global drug trafficking, whatnot. And, you know, this isn't conspiracy theories that I'm talking about, but these are proven facts. There have been Senate hearings, on the crack cocaine epidemic, and, you know, you even had Oliver North admit to. They facilitated all this cheap cocaine to flood the black community or urban centers in America so that they could provide funding for the Contras down there in South America. All right. So it says that in the deal struck between some of the Senate's most conservative and liberal members, judges would have the discretion to give sentences below the mandatory minimum for nonviolent drug offenders. All right, how about this? How about you eliminate mandatory minimums? All right, how about you get rid of that? Because, you know, from the research I've done, from the criminal justice experts that I have read their, you know, research and commentary on it, you know, it's the mandatory minimum sentencing that got us in this problem to begin with. I mean, of course, the problem started way before then, but the massive increase in the enslavement, as some people call mass incarceration, of so many people, leading the United States to be a world leader when it comes not to freedom, not to liberty, not for justice for all, but for putting its citizens or residents into prison slavery. They lead the world. China doesn't even come close to incarcerating or enslaving as many people as the United States of America does, and that includes all the states that have agreed to be in, you know, a part of this corporation. So that's what I'm talking about, people like Max Parthas. And speaking of Max, prayers going up for Max and all the people who have become affected by this hurricane. I don't know the name of the hurricane or whatnot, but Max has been without power for about 3 days is what his last Facebook post stated. So just, you know, keep them in your prayers and whatnot, that they come through this difficult time period unscathed, or at a bare minimum, a minimum damage to what they're dealing with. All right. So anyway, getting back to what I was talking about. Max always says that you can't reform slavery. You have to abolish slavery. All right. You got to abolish it. Now, the only thing that the bill would abolish is the mandatory life sentences for three-time nonviolent offenders. Three-time nonviolent offenders. You know, the three strikes thing that the Clintons and the Republicans pushed through during Bill Clinton's administration. Now, it says violent offenders, sex offenders, and inmates convicted of terrorism charges would be excluded. Members of organized crime syndicates and major offenders would also be excluded. Again, they're not talking about the organized crime syndicates known as banks in this country. They're not talking about the major fraud. Oh, they are major fraud offenders, right? No, those people don't even get prosecuted. The package, which was years in the making, should have momentum in the Senate. It was negotiated by some of the most powerful senators, the Associated Press reports. Now, the White House has not commented on the bill, but in July, President Barack Obama became the first president to visit a federal prison while in office. He called for changes in the criminal justice system, saying a distinction had to be made between young people doing stupid things and violent criminals. Now, among the senators' goals in producing this legislation, according to them, they said that making the sentencing system more, quote unquote, fair, reduce recidivism, and contain rising prison costs. So that was, you know, what their stated goals was. But again, you know, I have to say that this is just a bunch of crap. All right. Number one, I agree with many criminal justice organizations out there, primarily law enforcement against prohibition, which has long called for an end to the drug war. We should not be locking up anyone for nonviolent, and I don't even like calling them criminal offenses, but you know, they have been codified as criminal offenses. But if somebody is using drugs, whatnot, as long as they are not involving children in their drug use or drug trade or anything like that, I don't think that they should be targeted, period. Just leave people alone, man. Leave people alone. Go back to what you was doing before the 1920s when y'all criminalized cannabis and other drugs that have been used for thousands of years. If you want to do something, why not legalize, regulate, and tax it? If people want to get involved in that, then make it, you know, legitimate to where it's not a street market, which causes the violence. So this does nothing to eliminate the violence that we're seeing out there on the street associated with the street market drug trade. This is not going to do anything to address that. It's just going to simply maintain that market. All right. So, again, I don't think that they, so look at it. Let's put it like this simply. You are not impressing me by telling me that instead of putting people in prison for what you call a nonviolent drug offense, you caught them with some crack, you caught them with a crack pipe, you caught them with some heroin, you caught them with some syringes, whatnot. To me, justice is not you saying, well, we're not going to lock them up for 15 years. We're just going to lock them up for 5 years. That's not justice. That's still an injustice. You shouldn't be locking them up, period, at all, point blank. Now, if they commit a crime that involves intruding upon another person's life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, interfering with their property, like stealing their property to feed their drug habits, you can lock them up for that. But in terms of people who have an addiction, that's a health issue. That's a health issue, and it is not going to be solved by putting people in prison where they still going to have access to drugs. I mean, look, people, this issue hasn't been around for just the past 5 years or the past 10 years or the past 20 years. This has been an issue that people have been studying for decades. And so this is just a continuation of slavery in this country. It's a continuation of mass incarceration because it's not going to do anything to reduce the number of people that is going to be put into prison. It's just simply going to reduce the amount of time that they have to spend on a prison plantation. If you ask me, that's a win-win for the private prison lobby, who I'm sure has some input over the past couple of years that they've been putting this bill together. That they say that they've been putting this bill together. It still maintains business as usual, which is 21st century slavery in human trafficking. People should not be locked up over drug use, or if they even trading drugs, selling drugs to another adult. If you want to eliminate the illegal street market for drugs, then legalize them. Plenty of experts have said that that's the way to go. If you want to eliminate the violence, if you want to eliminate the access that youth have to drugs, then you have to legalize, regulate, and tax. Anything else, man, you just perpetuating the fraud because you ain't really addressing the issue. You're really not. So the police will still get federal funds to arrest people on drug charges as opposed to getting federal funds to process rape kits. It was only just last month, a couple of weeks ago maybe, that the Department of Justice announced that it's going to provide some grant money for police departments and whatnot to process rape kits. I mean, you should have been always doing that. Why has the priority been to lock up people who use drugs? That just doesn't make sense. What makes sense is solving all these rape and murder cases and providing, you know, the tools needed to do that, not incentivize slave catching of people who haven't committed acts against violence against anyone. Doesn't make any sense, people, and y'all should not fall for this reform. Don't fall for it. In fact, you should call them up and you should tell these corporate officers so-called representing you in USA Inc. that you don't support this bill because it does not go far enough. It does not implement justice, but it maintains injustice. This is how they always do. This is how they always do. They bring in the reform. This is what they did in 1865 at the end of the Civil War. You know, all they did was reform slavery. They didn't abolish slavery. They amended it with the 13th Amendment that says that slavery and involuntary servitude shall be abolished except as punishment for crime where a person has been duly convicted. And so that is the fraud that was perpetrated upon the world and got everybody believing that you stop practicing slavery when you just merely amended it and transformed it into prison slavery, hence the convicted of a crime. Then you pass all of these laws criminalizing people activity that people have been involved in for thousands and thousands of years so that you can just, you know, provide cheap and free labor again to the industries of America. Don't fall for this, people. Don't fall for reform. No, we don't want to reform it. We want to abolish it. Stop locking up people who haven't committed a crime against anyone. They didn't shoot anyone. They didn't rape anyone. They didn't steal from anyone. If you haven't done those things, I don't think you should be in prison. It should be that simple. It doesn't take no whole bunch of codified legislation, you know, all these criminal penal code. It don't take all that, man. It don't take all that. Just keep it simple. People talk about the Ten Commandments, right? And putting the Ten Commandments back in school or in the courthouse or keep it simple. Crime should only be if you harm another individual, and harming an individual covers many things: stealing from them, raping them, killing them, robbing them, committing fraud against them. If it doesn't involve you harming another individual, it's not a crime, people. It's not a crime just because a bunch of representatives, so-called representatives in Congress say it's a crime. You don't have to accept that. What does common sense tell you? What does your common sense tell you? Does your common sense tell you that we should be putting people in prison for growing a plant? Huh? Is that what common sense tells you? A plant that grows in nature? Obviously all plants grow in nature, but I mean, that doesn't make sense, people. So don't fall for this reform, cause it's just a bunch of more of the same. It's a fraud. Reform is a fraud. When the answer is simple, abolish, end the drug war, stop locking up people who have not harmed anyone. They may be harming themselves, but if they need help, then let's provide them with that help. Putting them in prison is not providing them help. You're actually doing more harm than helping. So y'all can fall for that reform stuff. I'm not going for it. I'm not going for it. All right, we come to the halfway point of today's broadcast. We'll take a station identification break, put some message music in there for you, and then we'll come back and I will jump on this story about the Iranians, or what's going on over there in Syria right now. And the Russians have really been stepping up their activity in bombing terrorists in that country. Now China. Different reports I have read that you got at least two Chinese warships in Syrian ports. They're also talking about sending in advisors and whatnot, military advisors to train. So you got right now what's shaping out could turn easily into a global conflict. You had a coalition of the Iranians, Iraqis, Syrians, Russians, and now China versus USA Inc. and its NATO partners. So we'll talk about that story on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind these enemy lines. We'll be right back.
Time for an Awakening Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. Speaking in behalf of the Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser. Since 2008, the Black Talk Media Project, which has created Black Talk Radio Network, has engaged in producing original content from a black perspective for the global black community. You can help us continue this mission and help us even more by giving donations to the Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser and asking others to do so also. Let us work together to make 2015 a stronger year for independent black media. Again, this is Elliot Booker of Time for Awakening Radio program on the Black Talk Radio.
When we see our people being brutalized by white bigots, white racists, we think that they are foolish to allow themselves to be beaten and brutalized and do nothing whatsoever to protect themselves. They are foolish. They should have the right to defend themselves against any attack made against them by anyone. If a dog is biting a black man, the black man should kill the dog. Whether the dog is a police dog, a hound dog, or any kind of dog. If a dog is picked on a black man, when that black man is doing nothing but trying to take advantage of what the government says is supposed to be his, then that black man should kill that dog or any two-legged dog. You'll find, sir, that there will come a time when black people wake up and become intellectually independent enough to think for themselves, as other humans are intellectually independent enough to think for themselves. Then the black man will think like a black man, and he will feel for other black people. And this new thinking and feeling will cause black people to stick together. And then at that point, you'll have a situation where when you attack one black man, you are attacking all black men. And this type of black thinking will cause all black people to stick together. And this type of thinking also will bring an end to the brutality inflicted upon black people by white people. And it is the only thing that will bring an end to it. No federal court, state court, or city court will bring an end to it. It's something that the black man has to bring an end to, has to bring an end to, has to bring an end to.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast. Next story, I'm going to let you listen to this report. Now, if you go to YouTube and you type in, like, China's military advisors heading to Syria, you'll find a whole bunch of reports about it. Again, they got a Chinese aircraft carrier docking at Syrian ports. This has all happened in the past week. But you haven't really been getting a whole lot of corporate news reports on this. None of the U.S., well, I shouldn't say none of them, but very few that I have seen have been reporting on this new variable into the equation of what's going on in Syria right now. So allow y'all to listen to this report. China's military advisors heading to Syria to help fight Islamic State is the name they're going by now.
China will be helping out the Syrian government in the fight against Islamic State, IS, formerly ISIL/ISIS, by sending military advisors, media reports have claimed. The report claims that a Chinese naval vessel is on its way to Syria with dozens of military advisors on board. They will reportedly be followed by troops. The ship is set to have passed the Suez Canal in Egypt and be making its way through the Mediterranean Sea. According to the website, the advisors will be joining Russian personnel in the Latakia region. Meanwhile, an Israeli military news website, Kafile, has cited military sources as saying that a Chinese aircraft carrier, the Liaoning CV-16, has already been spotted at the Syrian port of Tartus on the Mediterranean coast. It was said to be accompanied by a guided missile cruiser. The news comes after Russia, Iran, Iraq and Syria agreed to establish a joint information center in Baghdad to coordinate their operations against Islamic State militants, according to sources. The main goal of the center will be gathering, processing and analyzing current information about the situation in the Middle East, primarily for fighting IS, a military diplomatic source told Russian news agencies on Saturday.
All right, so as you can see, the information last week when I talked about Iraq, Iran, and Russia and Syria forming a coalition to fight against the Islamic State, and also, you know what it is, it's to counter what the NATO and USA Inc. has been doing in that country for decades now. I mean, that region for decades now. And, you know, you may want to be one of those people that want to, you know, pick up the red, white, and blue flag and be rah, 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 USA, USA, USA. And you might want to be falling in behind some of these warmongers that are in Congress right now and all the rhetoric that they're using about, you know, we need to do something and blah, 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 blah. Look, the United States has forever been destabilizing that region by overthrowing secular governments, democratically elected governments, and then allowing despotic regimes to brutalize the people of that country. But, you know, they give you cheap oil or access to other resources, so we don't really care about how the people live in as long as we can get those goodies for our corporate friends. The United States been doing this for a very long time. I think it's pretty much a consensus, except for liars and deniers, that ICE the Islamic State would not even exist if they had not even, if they had not went in there and overthrew the Iraqi government, Saddam Hussein's government, who was a secular leader. He wasn't a religious person, a Islamic person. I don't know what religious faith he practiced, but the government was not based on any kind of, it was not a theocracy. It was not. Christians were protected there and everybody, you know, pretty much freedom of religion and whatnot. Now, did he do some brutal things and whatnot? Sure he did. Things that the United States supported. Hell, they sold him them chemical weapons when Iraq was fighting against Iran. All right, they sold him them chemical weapons, and they was all down for all of that, all of those things that was going on. But now, you have, and how long had they been talking about getting rid of Assad? So from administration to administration, despite the rhetoric about the United States should not be engaged in nation building and forcing democracy down people's throats, that's exactly what they've been doing. Except for they ain't been forcing democracy down nobody's throat. What they've been doing is practicing colonialism. Look at Libya now. When they overthrew that country, siding with Islamic terrorists. And no one can deny the facts. NATO and USA Inc. assisted Islamic terrorists in Libya to overthrow that secular nation. Under the guise of humanitarian crisis, lying on Gaddafi, saying that he was about to slaughter a whole bunch of people and nothing of the sort was going on. Just all kind of lies facilitated by the corporate media. But yet, after they murdered Gaddafi and, you know, Hillary Clinton made her famous line talking about we came, we saw, and he died. That was a confession of the criminal activity of the USA Inc. in that country in assassinating a sitting head of state or assisting an assassination of a sitting head of state. But why did they do that? Libya was your ally. You normalized relationships with Libya. And to some people, you know, didn't agree with it, but they worked with you. Gaddafi allowed you to open up a CIA black site in the country so you can torture people to get intelligence and stuff like that. He was working with you. So why'd you go in there and overthrow his country? Because you wanted to destabilize the region, because war is profitable. Got to keep wars going on. But also, since the American public said no to funding the so-called oppositional army that they call, what, the Free Syrian Army or whatnot, that's fighting to overthrow the Syrian government. Since the American people wouldn't allow you to outright, you know, fund them or arm them, well, you did an end around. What you did was you overthrew Libya and then you liberated their arsenal, their military stockpiles and whatnot, and you transformed that, you transferred that to these terrorists so that they can take those weapons into Syria and whatnot. And also continue to wreak havoc in Libya. Now, if you went over there for a humanitarian crisis after you overthrew the country, why did you stand by and allow those Arabs to start hunting down all non-Arabs and murdering them and displacing them? You ain't heard nothing else about it. You actually didn't hear anything about it, really, except for if it came from alternative media, non-U.S. corporate media. So all this problem that is going on in that region of the world, the United States has long been involved in stirring up that hornet's nest and destabilizing that region. And I, for one, think that this coalition will bring some stability to that region. But NATO has its its job and regime change cut out for it, because, you know, the Russians and now the Chinese joining them, and the Iranians and the Iraqis, the Shia government in Iraq, man, y'all might as well just go on and hang that up, man, and stop perpetuating this crime against the people of Syria, against the government of Syria. I don't want to, you know, people will talk about how bad Assad is and blah, 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 and how bad, you know, Putin is and blah, blah, blah. And look, y'all live in a, if you are listening to us here within the borders and confines of USA Inc., you live in a nation to where over a thousand people are murdered in the streets by police, killed in their homes and whatnot, while they're trying to catch slaves. You live in the world's you have the world's largest modern slave population in the world. So you don't have room to be pointing fingers at anyone and talking about how brutal they are. You torture people through solitary confinement. You rarely convict, let alone prosecute, police who kill, prison guards who murder and rape and pillage behind them bars. You don't do anything. And you practicing legalized slavery and human trafficking. Don't talk to me about how bad some other country is. You don't live in no country that has a finger to point at anyone. Now, you personally, me personally, we may not be suffering. We may not be out here homeless, living under a bridge or, you know, in a city park or somewhere begging for food and whatnot. But there are millions of people who are. We may not be on a prison plantation, wrongfully incarcerated, being forced to work. Work that profits corporations, not just the private prison corporations, but all the corporations who are able to get access to that labor, that cheap pool of labor. But millions of people are. So that's what I am looking at. Again, no other country has the modern slave population that the United States has. So, just ain't got room to be talking about no other country. And again, I expect the corporate media to go into full propaganda mode. They're going to make it all about Putin, make it all about Assad, as they've been doing. But they ain't really going to talk about, you know, that they are really the source of the problem by funding these terrorist organizations to illegally overthrow these countries outside of international law. And so, like Putin has said, we're there to fight terrorists. Yeah, them heart-eating terrorists that you've been funding, you're claiming that you've been training Syrian opposition troops and whatnot, but yet you say only 60 have fought? I mean, man, what kind of fraud is going on here? So that's a story that I will be keeping a close eye on. And you should be keeping a close eye on it too, because this could escalate. This could escalate. This could, I mean, man, y'all just don't know. Let me see, Pierce, we have phone call area code 267. You're on Black Talk Radio News. Greetings to you. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, greetings, Brother Scott. It's Brother Ralph. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good, Brother Ralph. How are y'all doing up there? Y'all survived the Pope?
Oh, yeah, oh, man, that was, you know, I stayed far away from Philadelphia when that guy was in there, man. I mean, that was just that utter nonsense. You know, that's not everybody's religion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for them to do that to people was really disrespectful, in my opinion. You know, but, you know, I'm glad that you have brought up this conversation, Scotty, about this war that's about to happen. And like you said, the media is not even, they're not even touching this. They're not letting you know about China ships off the coast of Syria. They're not letting you know that Russia has already been bombing U.S. and Israel's allies, you know, in the form of some kind of civil war, but really that's their allies over there, the same way they overtook Libya. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Russia and China's not going for this one. They're not, you know, that news that we're being fed is just absolute BS. It's not even worth watching, man. It'll have you lost and confused. You gotta get your news from overseas, and basically you're the only one that's actually talking about this. Well, I just left New York City. Man, let me tell you something. You're talking about police state. There were, I said, like, you know what, something's about to kick off. They had probably 10 police officers every 2-3 blocks. No joke. And this is Manhattan. Mm. And I don't know about the rest of New York City, but I was in the Manhattan area, and it was a little, you know, I'm like keeping it like, what's about to happen here? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sirens everywhere. But people were on alert, and now they're giving this warning to universities in Philadelphia that they need to be on the alert because of some kind of terrorist email that said it's going to be a university. And I think they're thinking about we might be in the middle of it and don't even know, Scotty.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about them talking about bringing over 100,000 or more Syrian refugees? And planting them in urban centers, well, of course, the black community.
Oh, to replace us. They're going to replace us. So I don't think it's a good idea. I really don't think it's a good idea. I know you're a little, me and you, little, we differ a little bit on this immigration thing. But my thing is, when the immigrant comes here, he automatically has a hatred for black folk. A lot of them. So when they come in to the urban cities or whatever, they already got a disdain for you. They already dislike you. And like you said, it has something to do with white supremacy, because this is what they're being fed from shows like Empire and
I view this different than people coming up from South America or whatnot. This is something totally different. I'm looking at this from a security standpoint. I'm looking at this for, this would be the perfect way to get some terrorists in this country to commit acts of terrorism so that you can continue to justify the war on terror and what you've been doing, terrorizing the rest of the world. So I'm just saying, this ain't smart, man. I mean,
it really isn't. But see, we're blaming the wrong people. You know, just like that 9/11 thing, I don't believe that was those people. I believe it was some people right here that had a hand in that, because this country was about to go belly up as far as economically. I mean, any day that we were about to go into the Great Depression, and all of a sudden that thing hit, all of a sudden Halliburton and other companies start investing their money over there in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the economy didn't improve for us, but it sure did improve for some of those other people, if you know who I mean, that 1%.
Right.
Mitt Romney was talking about. So, no, we got, you know, I'm not a religious person, but when they said these little countries are going to start taking their plowshares and start sharpening them, you know, they're like, these people ready for war, man. I mean, you know, And what it is, we're so brainwashed with all this garbage that we're consuming over here. We don't even see the big picture. So, you know, I mean, when you see Obama meet with the Chinese diplomats over there on the West Coast, when you seen him meeting with Putin, and they said the outcome wasn't favorable, something's wrong with that. I mean, just that the outcome wasn't favorable. was it favorable for who? You know what I mean?
USA Inc., yeah. Obviously. Not favorable to USA Inc. And you know, their colonial plans that they have for the rest of the world. But I think the Iranians, Iraqi Syrians, and Russians, and now China coming together to form this coalition, U.S. and NATO might as well leave now. Because I don't think they can handle them.
They might as well get out of Syria, get out of Iraq, get out of Afghanistan. And, you know, people, yeah, you know, Donald Trump's a joke. But you better listen to some of the stuff that he's saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of them are jokes, but you better listen to them. Donald Trump even said out of his own mouth, and I didn't think he had this much sense. He must have some good advisors. He said the U.S. should have never went into Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq, or Syria. If they were left those regions alone, they would still be stable.
Right.
Now, that's now, I mean, the guy's a clown.
Yeah, he's a clown.
Listen to what he but he's not lying to us like the Democrats and their buffoons that they put in front of us.
Yeah, the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth no matter who tell it. You just got to be able to recognize that truth. And he's absolutely right. And he has also expressed concern about, he's saying that, you know, he wouldn't bring them people over here. Them refugees. Now, it's not anything against the innocent people whose lands have been destabilized. And as I was talking with somebody on Facebook today, and they were like in support of bringing these refugees here because the United States did this and bombed their country and did that. I said, that's all true. That's all well and fine. I know you don't have to convince me that the United States is the biggest supporter of global terrorism on the planet. You don't have to convince me of that. But I'm also looking at it. If I'm in Baltimore, if I'm in Seattle, if I'm wherever they plan on relocating these people, I don't want them near me. Because I don't want them. I mean, think about the unemployment rate.
You never know if a bridge is going to blow up.
Exactly.
Man, look, a mall. I mean, if they're doing that over there in their own land, what do you think they're going to do over here? You know what I mean?
And it's a perfect way of allowing something to happen. Listen, when the Boston Marathon bombing occurred, Russians had called the United States not once, but twice. Called the FBI, and I think they also contacted the CIA to tell them that them two brothers up there was part of an Islamic terrorist group over there from that area of the world. They ignored them, man. They ignored them. They allowed it to happen, just like they allowed 9/11 to happen. They allowed them planes to crash into them buildings and whatnot. And then they covered it up, the Saudi involvement in that. And so I'm looking at their past acts of terrorism against their own people. I'm talking about USA Inc. And that, you know, this is a perfect opportunity of them to allow to smuggle people into this country that's going to carry out those future acts of terrorism so that they can continue to justify their police state and their global terrorism around the world.
You know what? You might have put two and two together there, Scotty. This is a perfect way to put martial law in play.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Because, I mean, this is getting, and have you noticed, like, all these businesses, my wife's card just got hacked the other day. I had some pesos that were advanced out of one of my cards, and I'm saying, like, whoa. So the banks ain't even safe now. They're getting hacked. I think that's on purpose. I think they're setting us up, man. I mean, all these, this hack, you know, like, she just had to go and call her credit union. And tell them, like, look, my card's been compromised. You people going to... They gave her a little hard time about it. They put the money back in her account because they know... Because she hasn't been to the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, this stuff is really starting... It's coming to a boiling point. They're saying they're Chinese hackers.
Yeah.
They're saying they're Chinese hackers. Now, I can't trust nothing that comes from the media.
Yeah, that's true, because they could be doing it themselves and blaming the Chinese. Who knows?
There you go. Seeing how much they can get away with, and if the person don't see it, they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah,
you know?
Who knows?
So, this thing is very serious that's going on over there. And if you cut on the news, they're talking about the Kardashians. They're talking about what the president and the first lady is wearing, and they're talking about the ratings of Empire, and you know, they're giving us BS. And so, you know, I just called you to thank you for bringing this story out, man, because people are unaware of this thing that could just kick in one day. All the U.S. got to do is retaliate, and that's it.
Well, there's already been a confrontation between Turkey and Russia, saying that Russia violated their airspace and they intercepted a Russian jet and escorted it back into Syrian airspace. And Putin and them said it was just a simple mistake. It was a simple mistake. But, I mean, something like that easily could turn this into a global war, man.
It's around the corner, Scotty. Like I said, when you mess with this man's money, that's when he becomes violent. And right now, Russia, China, India, Brazil, and I forget the last country, South Africa, they're talking about they got some kind of BRICS economy that's going to replace that IMF, which is crooked as hell.
Yeah,
Tando anyway.
Radio Show. I don't know if you ever get an opportunity to listen to Tando Radio Show that comes on at 6 o'clock Monday through Friday, and unless, you know, he has to cancel the show. But he talks a lot about those issues in depth. And, yeah, they are. The Chinese and them are talking about coming up with another banking system where they're already working on it. Coming up with another banking system.
They already got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They already got it.
Yeah, to replace the IMF and all that. Then they won't be able to, like they're saying now, oh, let's put sanctions on Russia. See, they're only able to do that because the white supremacists run the international monetary system. And so if you set up another system and, oh, man, what you going to do then? You can't touch their money now. You know, so yeah, man. But I'm glad to see Iran, Iraq, Syria, Russia, and Chinese step up in that region, man, and to say, look, it's time out for this. You've been, because ain't nobody but the United States, and of course their NATO puppets and whatnot, that has been engaged in all of this violence. All of this violence is them. All of this violence is the root cause of all this violence. There ain't no Russia, China. Iran, they ain't invading no other countries and you know, talking about regime change and all. That's all been the United States and
yeah, all those countries been doing, Scotty, is trying to better their country.
Exactly.
I mean, I worked with a girl that was from India, and, you know, I said, well, you graduated from Kansas? And she said, yeah, with an engineering degree. And I said, well, how was those, how was your student loans? Said, oh no, my country pays for my education. I said, wow. Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah. So those countries are trying to better themselves.
Right.
This is the only country that's stepping on their own people, man, with high student loans and just raping the people, man. And people are getting fed up about it. So just bringing those Syrian refugees over here, putting them up in houses, man, that's not good. Yeah. I mean, especially
what jobs
those
they
people
gonna
have a dislike for this country to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. You the one, them people might, they may be refugees and whatnot, but they may know the truth that you are the one that destabilized our country. We were doing just fine until y'all started funding them terrorists, and they came over here cutting people hearts out their chests and eating hearts and all of that garbage and destroying, you know, religious artifacts. You know, they've been blowing up stuff, man. Blowing up all of the, you know, old statues and temples and stuff like that. I mean, just crazy, man. And so them people might come here, and who knows, you might get a 10-year-old who comes here today, and then when he 8 years from now, you know, he look back at, I'm still stuck here, and look what y'all did to my homeland. I'm gonna get y'all back, you know. So
right. And that puts us in harm's way, because we never had nothing against y'all. We, matter of fact, we trying to struggle to get ahead in this place they call America right now. But they're going, you know, they're going to just see you as an American anyway. I mean, this thing is really ugly. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be quiet, Scotty.
Okay.
You know, that little young guy down there in Texas. Everybody said, oh, it was the clock. They ain't like no damn clock to me, man. that ain't look like no clock to me, man. And when I told people that nonsense, I said, like, I don't care what y'all tell me. I know a clock when I see one. That wasn't no clock. So if with them bringing all these people over here, and you got a neighbor that's going to bring one of them over your house that was from Syria, say, like, look, Mr. Reed, here's my clock. You might put yourself in a teacher's shoes and call 911. So that's all I have, man. I just say, like, thanks for bringing up this topic, man, because this thing is serious.
Yes, it is. All right. It is serious. All right, Brother Ralph, you have a good day, man.
You too, Scotty.
All right, peace. All right, yeah, they actually, you know, I do feel like they overreacted with Ahmed down there in Texas, but it did not look like a clock, though. It was in a suitcase and everything, you know. And, I mean, I can understand why somebody might think it was a suitcase bomb, but upon closer inspection, you could see that it didn't have any kind of C4 explosives and whatnot. So it was a total overreaction, I think, you know, calling the police and all of that. We did a program on that, but, you know, you do have to admit, though, it did look like a suitcase bomb or something. I do admit that it did look kind of suspicious, but I don't agree with the way they handled that situation. All right, the last story I want to get to, I said I was going to be on air an hour today, but that's okay. We go over a little bit. But remember, coming up at 6 o'clock, Tando Radio Show will be live right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. But this is the last story I want to share. I talked a little bit about it last night on Political Prisoner Radio, but the indigenous people of Hawaii have an opportunity to take their country back, all right? And let me just share from Maui News.com. This is MauiNews.com. It is an Associated Press article that was published on September the 30th. So 5 days ago, and this is another story that I'm not seeing in mainstream media. Let me share a little bit from it. All right. It says that, it will be up to the Native Hawaiian community to create its own government if it chooses to do so, the U.S. Department of the Interior said Tuesday. The department outlined a proposal that would establish a formal government-to-government relationship with the United States and Native Hawaiians if they want such a relationship. We're creating a pathway, but in terms of the community organizing a government or seeking to establish that relationship, that is actually up to the community, said Kristen Sari, the department's principal deputy assistant secretary for policy management and budget. We've heard from the Native Hawaiian community that say a rule like this would give their community an opportunity to thrive. The announcement comes as a unique election process is underway in which Native Hawaiians will select delegates to represent them at a constitutional convention to possibly come up with a recommended form of government that will be voted upon by Native Hawaiians. Listen, I've done research on this over the weekend. They actually already have a constitution. They've been working on trying to get their independence. I still think that while they may be giving them permission to establish or reestablish their own government, they're still going to be treated like a colony. And that's just based off of what I have seen thus far. When you look at a place like Puerto Rico isn't a state and Puerto Rico has its own government, right? But it's still a colony of the United States, incorporated. Still a colony. Virgin Islands, still, they have their own form of government. They're, you know, made up by the people that live there. Still colony. All right. Still subservient to the United States, corporate government. You look at Guam. You look at American Samoa. They have their own governments, but they are still colonies of the United States of America Incorporated. So that is what is not clear to me on exactly what it is that the Department of Interior is saying. Because if you ain't talking about returning the land, if they say, let's say they form a government and we say we want all of you out, all of you non-citizens, we want you off our islands, every last, the big island, Maui, Oahu, Molokaia, you gotta go, man. You gotta go. Now, we might allow y'all to have y'all, you know, naval bases and military bases here, but you're gonna have to pay. You're gonna have to lease those from us. We're gonna have to come up with a contract and whatnot. We might allow you to stay here, you know, but, I don't think that that is what's going on here. But it is a step in the right direction for, native people of Hawaii. Now, I found this clip that was published, in July? I think it was in July. I can tell you when it was published.
If this thing.
But you got, you actually have people over there, even though you don't hear a lot about it, but who have been fighting for their independence, for a very long time. All right. So I'm going to let you hear from one of those leaders. His name is Bumpy Kanahele. And, he is talking about this, in terms of getting their sovereignty back. And in terms of the infighting that goes on, because again, proxy racism knows no group. It knows no bounds whatsoever. There are what are known as traitors among us. There are people with Stockholm syndrome, and you know, they just afraid of being independent of USA Inc. If you offered, let's say, black people the opportunity to establish, let's say USA Inc. said, you know what, we're going to give y'all Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. All right. We're going to give you, that's your reparations right there. Y'all can move there, form your own independent nation and whatnot, form your own governments that, you know. Now, I bet you that there will be a significant number of black people in this country, that'd be like, nope, not me. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave, United States. I want to still be a part of this. I know that they ain't perfect and all this and that, but I mean, well, who gonna lead us and how we gonna survive? And, you know, cause it's people that got Stockholm syndrome. They are used to things being a certain way and they don't like change. And so, you know, they don't want to remove the oppressor's boot off their neck. All right. And then some are just flat out sellouts, man. Flat out traitors, proxy racist tools. And, they doing it for a paycheck and pats on the back from white supremacists. But, without further delay, this is Bumpy Kane, Hele. And, he's talking about, this issue of sovereignty as well as proxy racism in the islands.
What happened to the family over here? I'm going to shut down the tourism in Waikiki and every other place in Hawaii. So my power.
That's where.
Yo! That is aloha. Because I cannot do anything violent right now, but I can go to Waikiki and get all my friends wherever they are in the world. For ask the tourists not to come to Hawaii. Yeah. We need to sit down and talk with this government. They don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Tita is right. Every Hawaiian should have diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
Because of the situation. We're fighting amongst each other and it's set up by you folks.
Yeah.
So it's never going on. I never going against anybody, even my enemy, if they're Hawaiian, only because.
Because you're nicer.
Aloha still here. Even though Ete is the kind. Aloha is good, bad, and ugly. So right now, the bad side of Aloha coming out. And the ugly side is when the state crippled and no more money to operate so that they gotta sit down and talk to us. Mm-hmm. Talk to all of us. Not just a handful. So all you scholars in the classrooms trying to build one nation from there, it's not four corners of your classroom. You gotta come out and you gotta be physical in everything. Look at Mauna Kea, the same thing, you know. We support that as well. But I like to know what I'm supporting too.
Yeah.
You know, get plenty of history over there and Now Tito going to race, get one family down Waianae or Makaha. They doing things on state land that the state not bothering there. So something wrong with this picture. And so mark my words, Governor, you guys got to do something. You guys got to protect the Hawaiians from all this destruction and things going on from evictions, because this is our land. You don't get take away our national sovereignty from us. National sovereignty, mark that word, because that's our identity and the control over our national lands. You cannot do that anymore. Okay? However things were situated, the Hawaiians, you know what, we shouldn't fight against each other, period, just because. No think you get on good because you get plenty of money and you get on good job.
Yeah.
Because that no work either. You know, my village, as guys, get plenty of jealousy out there. But if they only knew that what that represents is every Hawaiian that don't know about the things we know about. The innocent Hawaiians, the ones that are growing up and all that. And that was left back from our past. Okupuna wasn't dumb. And okay, take them away from us. The gig's up. We caught you folks. You know, and also, the Asian Americans now. You see, it's really important because, I was trying to make them in a way where I know disrespect the Japanese that really don't know what the hell going on. Because the three type Japanese, they're Ise, Nise, and Bise, I think, something like that. The Ise.
Ise sensei.
Or the Ise, they never like the kind. The Ise never like anything to do with America. Strong Japanese nationals. The Nise, the children, said, fuck that. We're gonna stay with America. Now, during that time, between the 1900, 1920, something like that, Japanese schools was popping up all in Hawaii like that. The governor at that time, Yoshitano, stop them because it was undermining the kind. Eventually, Pearl Harbor came. They went bomb them. Yeah, really had spies over here doing their thing. They wanted Hawaii too. The Nise, the children of the Ise, them guys didn't go fight for America because they wanted to make a real strong impression that we are Americans. We love America. The problem with all that is that it was at the expense of Hawaiians. In 1945, when the United Nations was created, they had an article under Article 73, non-governmental or non-self-governing territories. The first, Article 73A, reads as such, to ensure with due respect to the culture of the peoples concerned, the political, economic, social, and educational advancement, just treatment and protection against abuses.
Yeah.
That was Article 73A. Article 73B was a form of self-government. What that meant, that in 1945, the Hawaiians were supposed to be held by the hand, walk through this decolonization process. That's the name of Article 73. It's a decolonization process. But lo and behold, the Asians took over that whole process. This is why they had the better jobs as dentists, doctors, lawyers, and all that. The school system was controlled by them. I remember going to school, and then my friends, Japanese, they was going to school again after school for learn Japanese. Now, at that time, the Hawaiians were supposed to have Hawaiian language classes all over the place. Okay, so that's the second overthrow by who? Asian Americans. Okay, so now that that is off my chest, because I was pissed off for years about this, I think you understand why the government is controlled and has been controlled a lot. Now, Senator Inouye, for all you guys love this man and voted for him in the past, I'm sorry, but he was not good for Hawaiians at all. Anything to do with what happened with the Japanese, sorry you guys had to go to concentration camp, but was still after our overthrow.
We all in a concentration camp.
we were still in a concentration camp when they let them out. So, I get plenty for sale about this. I'm not to any other Hawaiian. I want to talk to the government. I want to talk to the people that can make a difference or not. Promise you, I will tell the tourists not to come to Hawaii until you guys sit down with us. You hear me? You feel me? Aloha.
All right, that was an indigenous Hawaiian talking about, you know, we can stop y'all from coming over here. We can make it very unpleasant for the tourists coming over here. And for those that don't know, when I was a younger man, a much more confused person, I was in the United States Army, and I was on that island on the island of Oahu for about 3 years. My ex-wife are from there. My children are, you know, descendants of Hawaiians and whatnot. And so, you know, I learned then that there was a resistance, a resistance to the occupation that was going on. I was actually kidnapped one time from a club, you know, and I had got myself into that trouble, but I came across these guys, and I just kept my mouth shut, and I just listened to what they had to say and whatnot, and they let me go. They let me go. But that's when my eyes started to open as to what the United States actually does to indigenous lands and the whole colonization. That really put me on the path to consciousness and realizing what my role was as a U.S. soldier, as a proxy to racism. And so I'm glad to see that they have this opportunity. Now, another thing about Hawaii is they practice human trafficking there. We talk about it on, we provided reports on New Abolitionist Radio, which comes on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, how there, you know, earlier I was talking about the fraud of this criminal justice reform and whatnot. Well, when you get arrested and whatnot and convicted of a crime in Hawaii, they ship you out of that, off that island, and they ship you to either California, to whatever private prisons in the continental United States, as it's known over there. They call the mainland or USA, they call it the continental USA. And so, I mean, those people are shipped off from their own islands and held captive in private prisons and whatnot. So I'm telling you, man, people, to utter what Ralph was saying, man, people are just getting real sick and tired of USA Inc. all over the world, man, and they are starting to stand up, and or not starting to stand up, but, you know, new generations are standing up and continuing the fight. So I stand with all oppressed people all over the planet, and I stand in solidarity with the indigenous Hawaiians, and I hope that they have an opportunity to take their country back. All right, that's going to bring an end to this broadcast. I will be back on air tomorrow at 4 o'clock p.m. coming up here in just about 30 minutes or so. Tando Radio Show will be on air. Let me pull up and see so I can give you a little bit of information about what they will be talking about today on Tando. I know the last couple of shows, they have also been focusing on what's going on over there in Syria. And, they'll be continuing that conversation today, saying we're just one major incident from a world war. So make sure y'all stay locked in the Black Talk Radio Network. Even when we're not streaming live, we have pre-recorded content that is being broadcast 24/7 on the network. But again, we'll pick back up today with our live streaming at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with Tando Radio Show. Recognize this. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines as a non-white person. All right. That it is Battlefield America out there. Casualties are being created every day. People are being kidnapped from their communities and put into 21st century slavery and human trafficking. All right. And so you need to develop codification. You need to develop battlefield awareness so that you don't become a casualty. There are no guarantees. You can take all the preventive measures you want to. There is no 100% foolproof methods that you can take that'll prevent that from happening, but at least you can decrease the likelihood of you becoming a casualty or being snatched up into 21st century slavery and human trafficking. All right, so with that said, peace and blessings to all, and until tomorrow, I'm out.